T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Friday evening. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there. We ask you to download the radio.com app because, well, we know that you're not in the vehicle as often. You're not in your car as much. You want to listen to the station. You want to listen to this particular show. How do we do it? Simple. Radio.com app. Download that on your device today. Take that smartphone. Take those Alexa speakers. Take that tablet that you've got. Maybe that Commodore 64, your Intellivision, your Atari 2600, your Sega Genesis. I don't really know what your device is. Just download it onto something to be able to catch us on the go. Social media is all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us on all those platforms. As always, the best way to keep up with our particular show is through our personal Twitter handles. You can reach myself. That would be at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is in Midtown producing the show, hanging out with us. He'll ask the questions later on tonight for Rankin Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90. Getting ready for game three of the World Series. I wonder what happened to SmackDown tonight, because this is the SmackDown right before the pay-per-view. They got they got the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view coming up this weekend. By the way, I think the original plan that this Hell in a Cell pay-per-view was supposed to be here in Atlanta. That was the original plan before, obviously, COVID and all those kinds of things. But the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view this year for this month of October was supposed to be at State Farm Arena. So we obviously missed out on our pay-per-view here in Atlanta for the WWE for this year. So we'll have to, hopefully next year, they will get back to being able to get on the road and get in front of fans and such like that. So we get game three with Buck and Smoltzy getting ready as Charlie Morton and Walker Buehler will match up. This will be Buehler's first game in the World Series. Obviously he pitched, what was that? Was that Saturday that he pitched? He pitched that game six against the Braves on Saturday. So coming back tonight as the series is tied at 1-1. And it officially shifts to the Rays being the home team now, bringing out the home whites to all of it. Falcons-Lions coming up this Sunday as we get ready for the one-game winning streak of the Atlanta Falcons, coming off of their most complete game by far against the Minnesota Vikings. And now another team that is fighting and struggling to figure out its identity. You know, a lot of ways, there's a lot of similarities to what these two teams are. They've not played, both teams have not played very good defense. Both teams have had quarterbacks that have been up and down at times. Both teams have blown leads. You know, there are some similarities to what we see between two of these teams. So some things to look at in this game. You know, we talked with Torrey McElhaney earlier on in the show, and we'll replay that interview coming up at 9:40 for you. But, you know, before last week, the Lions were the worst rush defense in the NFL. They were giving up about 170-some-odd yards a game. Now, they only gave up 44 yards, I believe it was, to the Jacksonville Jaguars last week. Now, I don't know if that says more about the defense that the Lions played or how bad the Jaguars are. Because let's face it, the Jaguars are dreadful. They got rid of their star running back. So I don't know how much stock I put into that all of a sudden they started figuring out how to play run defense. So this is another week where, you know, the pathway should be start by leaning on that offensive line, getting Todd Gurley, getting Brian Hill into the mix and getting them going off early to set up play action and to set up open routes for their wide receiver core. Now, obviously, it's a pretty good secondary that they have. And remember, they spent the number three pick in the draft on Jeff Okuda, the kid out of Ohio State. And, of course, remember, in the offseason, they picked up Desmond Trufant, right? They had lost Darius Slay, who, by the way, Jarvis? Yeah, Darius Slay. Yeah, that's what I thought. I don't know why I was thinking Clay, but Darius Slay, who, by the way, is a terrific corner. He's one of the premier corners in the NFL. They lost him, bring in Desmond Trufant and draft Jeff Okuda with the number three overall pick. So, you know, they're a team that, I don't know what their hopes or expectations were, veteran quarterback in Matt Stafford, but things have not gone very well. And obviously coming off a disappointing season where if you have the number three pick in the draft, then obviously things did not go very well for you. But this is a team that the Falcons can absolutely run on and should be able to try to push and try to make some plays, you know, with. Another one of those weeks where let's see how committed Dirk Koetter is. It's a bad rush defense. How much does he commit? Which usually means they come out and throw three times and go three and out or something crazy, you know, like that. You know, offensively, the Lions have been a decent run team. Now, if you're a Georgia Bulldog fan, of course, you'll get a dose of DeAndre Swift, who last week really kind of did have his breakout game in the NFL. You know, he was terrific against the Jaguars and went over 100 yards last week, 116 yards and two touchdowns. By the way, that is one of the better performances of all time for any Lions running back to do. But they're a very average offense. They don't do anything great in the passing game. Matt Stafford, believe it or not, and we'll talk about Matt's rating in the PFF numbers through the first 6 weeks of the season and where he ranks among quarterbacks. Matt Stafford ranks 26th among quarterbacks thus far. And they don't have a ton of big wide receiver playmakers. So he's been up and down. It's been a very average season. They're a decent running game, so you want to make sure first and foremost that the Falcons slow that down. And that's pretty much par for the course, you know, in the NFL. But especially when you talk about a passing offense that really hasn't gotten things going, they really haven't gotten it cranked up. Stafford has not played that well. They don't have certainly the type of receiving core that the Atlanta Falcons, you know, are going to trot out there. So, you know, with that, you know, this is another chance for this defense to establish itself. And look, if the Atlanta Falcons can get out to a good size lead, you know, even if it's 10, 13 points, get out to a decent sized lead early on in this game and really put the pressure on the Lions, because they're not a team that, you know, is that great at being a come from behind team. They're not built for all of that. Their passing game has not gotten it off. You know, could this be one of those shootout types of games? Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I would like to think that the Falcons defense couldn't be better than that. I would like to think that the Falcons defense can put together some of the same things this coming Sunday that they did last Sunday. And I'm not saying they're going to get three picks out of all of it, but if you could grab a pick, grab a fumble, make a couple of sacks, you know, I do and am ready for this pass rush to start stepping its game up. They've put the time and the investment into it. Now it's got to start to pay off. And now the secondary starts to get healthy with Terrell and Sheffield and 26. Your safeties start getting healthy. You know, and we're hearing, by the way, too, even Dante Fowler talking about it himself, that, you know, this is maybe the first week that, or maybe at least, Jarvis, correct me if I'm wrong, but he's kind of saying that he's his healthiest this week that he's been all season long, that he feels better now than he has at any point during the season. Is that a fair assessment of Fowler?
Oh yeah, most definitely, because you know, he's been dealing with the ankle issues. And and like you said, he has been, you know, on getting better, because you saw a few plays last week against the Vikings that, you know, okay, he might be on the come.
Yeah, and look, you need him this week. And by the way, you know, let's face it, Matt Stafford's a guy who can move around in the pocket, but he's certainly not a guy like Dak or Russell Wilson that you saw earlier in the year that's going to get out and get things done, you know, with his legs. So you have the ability, you have the right type of quarterback that's going to be in place that, you know, if you can get to him, you can certainly put him on the ground. So I think that's one of those things that if there was going to be a week maybe that we try to get the pass rush kind of breaking out, maybe this is the week. Maybe this is the week that they finally get this thing cranked up and going. But, you know, if the Falcons are smart, this won't be necessarily a pretty, or how do I say, maybe as aesthetically pleasing. And what I mean by that is run the football, stop the run. You know, if the Falcons can run the football effectively against what's been one of the worst, you know, if not the worst run defense in all of the NFL, at the same time, keep DeAndre Swift in that running game from getting off and getting going, then this all plays in very easily to what the Falcons, you know, want to do. And it's the old axiom. I mean, it's nothing new or unusual, but line of scrimmage football. That's what this game, you know, is this weekend for the Falcons. This is not a offense that comes in, you know, in the Detroit Lions and lights it up and they huck it all over the field and they can do all this, that, and the other. This is not a Lions defense that, you know, is so solid up front that they force you to go shotgun and five wide. They don't stop the run, and they're very average at running the football. They're very average offensively overall as is. And what will be fascinating to see is the momentum from last week. It's easy to get up last week after all of the criticism, all of the bad PR. You know, you have a new coach and all that that's in place that, okay, let's show everybody we're still a good football team. And you have that 1 week bump. Well, what do you do come week number two? You know, what do you do in the second week with all of that? It's easy to get that first week. And historically, if you look, teams in the NFL, when they fire their coach in season, teams typically play pretty well that week that the coach gets let go. It's what happens after that, you know, is curious. This is very much a winnable game for the Falcons, so go ahead and get yourself wrapped around the fact that the Falcons should win this game. I mean, they should. This should be a game that the Atlanta Falcons win. If you pulled out the schedule before the start of the year and said, you know, played the win-win-win game, you know, win-loss game, this would be a game that you would say, okay, after the season the Detroit Lions had last year, this is a game that we can win. And obviously with the start that the Detroit Lions have had to this season, where they've been very average at best themselves, this is a game the Falcons should win. And it doesn't have to be a shootout. It doesn't have to be, you know, one of these high point types of games for the offense. Run the football and stop the run. Maybe more than any week that we've, you know, had thus far for the Atlanta Falcons this week. Run the football and stop the run. If the Falcons can't run it this week and really get their running game off, I don't know what to tell you going the rest of the way. Because this is the worst run defense that they've faced all year. This may be the worst run defense that they faced for the entire year out there. So there should be plenty of opportunity for this team to make some hay. And let's see how many carries Todd Gurley gets. Let's see if Brian Hill gets in the mix, you know, a little bit more as well. And offense should be feeling pretty good about itself. I mean, Matt's the NFC Offensive Player of the Week, answered a lot of doubts and questions and things like that. People questioning, you know, should he be on the move and this, that, and the other. Well, him and Julio put on a show last week, you know, and maybe at least for 1 week they silenced all the doubters and the critics. That never seems to be the case, though, you know what I mean? Because, you know, 24 hours later, they were writing articles on Sports Illustrated that could the Falcons be looking to shop these guys at the deadline? Well, good luck trying to shop those contracts up unless you tell me the Falcons are going to eat a whole lot. And I don't think the Falcons are ready to part ways with either one of those guys anyway, unless they just got an offer that was so big and so bold that they couldn't say no to it. But, you know, not as much. You know, it. You don't feel like this week you need Matt and Julio to go out there and be NFC Offensive players of the week. If anything, I want that offensive line and that run game to be offensive players of the week. If you told me Todd Gurley this week was the NFC offensive player of the week, I'd feel a lot better about that, because that would probably mean pretty strongly that this team wins. And it'll be fun to see DeAndre Swift. I mean, you know, coming off of, you know, a monster game, his best game as a pro, what can the Falcons do to stop him? I know there were people that wanted him here in Atlanta. Anytime one of these star Georgia running backs, you know, is ready to go to the NFL, people here locally want to see that guy be, whether it's Todd Gurley or DeAndre Swift or whoever, people want to see him, you know, be a part of all of that. So he had his breakout week last week, and, you know, let's see what the Falcons can do to stop him this coming week. All right, when we get back, and by the way, I'll take the Falcons winning this thing. When we get back, Dave Archer joined Dukes and Bell earlier today. We'll hear what the Falcons analyst had to say about getting ready for this game as Falcons and Lions come up Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock here on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. It's all next. Chuck Show, hanging out with you on this Friday evening. Sports Radio 92 on the Game on the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92 on the Game, back with you on the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this SmackDown Friday. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there, as always. Radio.com apps, how you catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game. Hit us up. It's at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. We'll get to our Falcons flyover coming up at the top of the hour. A couple of minutes here, we'll get into what's bugging Chuckery with you. But as we get ready for another weekend of college football, and a reminder, coming up 9 o'clock tomorrow, it is the best college football show in America, bar none. It's not that dopey thing that they do with ESPN and Desmond and Herbie and all those guys and all kinds of crazy stuff where the guy that picks the games at the end, you know, when he's picking Florida, he starts doing the tomahawk chop and all that kind of stuff. And what was it? He picked, like, they had an Oklahoma State Baylor game, and he picked, like, Texas to win. We don't do that unless I do it intentionally out there. College football game time, 9 to noon tomorrow. By the way, programming note, Harry Douglas, great Harry Douglas, will be in for Randy McMichael. So myself, Chris Goforth, and Harry Douglas tomorrow, 9 to noon, college football game time. Now, speaking of that, Georgia Bulldogs have the Saturday off in SEC play, but Georgia Tech comes back after that beatdown that Clemson gave them. No surprise. I mean, look, Clemson is flexing its muscle and reminding everybody that it's the best team in America this year. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder, and they're playing with a purpose this year. They're going to be an awful hard out. We asked the question, they're not going to lose any games. And not only that, they're not going to lose by less than double digits. And I don't care when they play Notre Dame, they play North Carolina. I don't care who they line up against. Take all the best teams you want. They're going to club everybody over the head. So after the beatdown that Tech took from Georgia Tech, they go up to Chestnut Hill to take on a BC team that's been mixed results. The crazy thing about BC, you probably got to go back to the Matt Ryan era for the last time a BC team was this pass heavy of a team. They don't run the football at all. In fact, I don't think they've even had over 90 yards rushing in a game this year. They've struggled mightily to run the football, so they have to huck it around is what they have to do. Now, you know, like I said, it's been some mixed results. They went into Virginia Tech and got drubbed last weekend. Some people thought that maybe Virginia Tech might be on upset alert, but they went into Virginia Tech and got drubbed. It's very simple. You know, it's a Boston College team that wants to throw the football a lot because it can't run the football. Well, Tech's been a defense that's created 11 turnovers this year. So give them, you know, some credit. You know, we've criticized them about how bad they've been at giving turnovers. I mean, you know, they had that stretch where against Central Florida and Syracuse, 10 turnovers in those two games. And, you know, for as bad as last week was, they were only minus one in the turnover department. I think they had three turnovers themselves, but they also created two turnovers in that game. So, you know, all things considered against Clemson, the fact that you finished only minus one in the turnover department, if you're looking for any sort of silver lining or any sort of happy feeling in that, is the fact that they were only a minus one in the turnover. So, you know, how do you make sure you don't lose to these bad teams? Don't do like they did at Syracuse. Go up to the Carrier Dome and hand out five turnovers. You do that, and even the bad teams will look good against you. You'll keep all the bad teams, you know, in it. So don't turn the football over and create turnovers yourselves. And, you know, Georgia Tech has done a good job of that. They're starting to form a little bit into that identity that Jeff Collins wants to have. You know, his defenses at Temple were that aggressive attack, sack the quarterback, strip fumble, create turnovers, you know, try those, what do they call those things, havoc plays on defense. And, look, they don't have all the personnel yet, obviously, at Tech to do that, but that's the style that they're trying to create. So 11 turnovers created thus far, that's a pretty good number. You know, I can't look at years past, but it feels like they've been better generating turnovers this year than they have. So that, to me, is the thing. Don't turn the football over. It's a mediocre BC team. Could they go up there and get beat by three touchdowns? Yes. Could they go up there to Chestnut Hill, though, and win that thing tomorrow? Yes. Don't turn the football over. Keep your offense rolling. Keep it cranking up. And expect them, you know, they're a very one-dimensional offense, BC. One-dimensional. Don't let them become a more well-rounded offense. So that game will take place tomorrow afternoon. And as I said, 9 o'clock tomorrow. Don't forget, sports on here on Sports Radio After the Game, college football game time. The best college football show that is out there. And our buddy Harry Douglas is going to fill in this week for Randy Mack. So we'll have all the hits as usual with you. Speaking of taking hits, let's get to something that we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Look, I'm not saying that LSU, or as Max Howell would say, LSU, doesn't have its own issues and problems. They do. They've got bigger fish to fry because they've got a former offensive lineman, that Vidal kid, whose dad got like $150,000 in some kind of crazy fund. I don't even know. So they got all kinds of issues. Shocking that there's, you know, money payouts in the world of big-time Division I college football and this and the other. But this Odell Beckham thing, I kind of scratch my head at. Okay, I understand. If you don't remember the story, Odell Beckham at the end of the national championship game last year was on the field and handed out a bunch of $100 bills to Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver. And obviously, not a good look, and the NCAA frowns on it, and all this, that, and the other. I understand the optics and things like that. But now LSU has finally handed down their penalty, where they've banned Odell Beckham for 2 years from the facility, and they're going to cut 4 scholarships a year for the next couple of years for it, trying to get ahead of the NCAA. Here's my thing. Does the punishment fit the crime in this case? I mean, now look, LSU didn't do itself any favors by saying something stupid, saying that, oh, no, it was fake money. No, even Joe Burrow acknowledged in the locker room, no, it was real money. But he was handing out money to a guy, by the way, who was no longer going to be part of the LSU program that was going to the NFL. And while I understand the optics and things like that, okay, did anybody really take that seriously? Like, did anybody think that, oh, here's Odell Beckham coming on the field so he can start paying off the players? He's a gimmick. That was a gimmick. There's no difference in that than if I flip on the WWE Network and I turn on Bastion Booger versus Doink. It's the same exact thing. It's a gimmick. It's a work. Now, he gave the money. Jefferson said he donated it to church. But who cares? Is that really where the problem is in college football? Because like I said, what you've got is the real story. And where LSU is really trying to do PR control. And what's the, they're trying to minimize damage. What's the term I'm trying to use there? But yeah, damage control. They're trying to get into damage control because they got an offensive lineman who was pretty good. Vidal was a pretty good lineman. You know, that his dad got like $175,000. Okay, I'm with you there how egregious that is. But Odell handing out some $100 bills as part of a celebration after a game to a kid who was not going to be part of the LSU program any longer. You know, I'd understand if on National Signing Day, remember how David Pollack caused a minor infraction because he showed up behind Mark Richt because he was supporting a kid that announced his decision, and that was a violation, literally just because he was standing there. So I'd understand if a kid is standing at the podium with LSU and their head coach, and, you know, him and Orgeron are standing there, and then all of a sudden, you know, Odell Beckham starts handing the kid $100 bills. That I would get. But sometimes doesn't common sense have to take over? As I said, look, Odell and on the field in the hundreds, it's doink. It's fake razor. It's fake diesel. It's the repo man. It's a gimmick. It's no different. It's him being crazy, celebrating his alma mater. And yes, he gave money to a kid who is not going to be part of the program and was never going to be part of the program. That was it. He was done at LSU. So why? Okay, 2 years he's got to stay away. Why give up scholarships on something like that? Why? Because LSU didn't do itself any favors by saying something dumb like, oh, it was fake money and all this, that, and the other. See, this is where these programs get themselves into trouble. Instead of just talking straightforward and making it about common sense, they have to go into full-on gimmick mode. Because now it turned into a wrestling angle. Well, was it real money or was it fake money? I mean, the only thing missing was LSU's AD should have come out with the Money in the Bank briefcase and just handed it to somebody and say, here, you can cash this in. I'm sorry, but in that case, I don't think the punishment fits the crime. And I don't think common sense prevails anymore in some of these college athletic programs. All right, we get back for the top of the hour. It'll be time for our nightly look at all news Atlanta Falcons. It's the Falcons flyover. Hanging out with you here on this Friday evening, it is the John Chuckery Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on the Radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!